Game Time, driven by Briggs Auto Lane
and BriggsAuto.com.
Get in the game.
Here we go!
Hello and welcome to the game. John Kurtz, Tyler Dreiling, Mitch Fortner all with you here. Today on the show, it's going to be a good one, my friends. Got Curtis Kelly, former Wildcat, one of my all-time favorites at 4:30. Had a great, great chat with him. I feel like you'll be inspired by it at 4:30. He says K-State saved his life. 5'10", Wesley Owundu, headed to the NBA draft tonight. Another guy I talked to earlier today. We'll play that back at 5:10 for you. We'll do haters and ballers. Wesley Owundu draft edition at 5:25 as well, and send you off with You Can't Be Serious at 5:50. As always, you can tweet us at the game, KMAN, if you have questions or comments. The phone number is 537-1350, toll-free 866-776-1350. Boy, am I going to get to be a hater here in the opening segment. I hate to do it. I hate to do it, but I try and be realistic. That's going to happen here in just a second. But about an hour before we hit the airwaves today, we got a bombshell dropped on us, and that is the Kansas City Chiefs making big moves, I suppose. I don't know how you want to classify this. I'll tell you my story. I was sitting there looking at my phone, or my phone goes off, and the first thing I see, it's a push notification from my score app that I have on my phone, and it says, Chiefs and Andy Reid agree to extension. Terms of the deal not disclosed yet. And I thought, okay, good. I knew that was something that was like on the back burner for the Chiefs, whether or not Andy Reid was going to stick around. All right, great. Andy Reid's sticking around. Then about 20 minutes later, my phone goes off again, and I see Chiefs part ways with GM John Dorsey. And it was one of those that like I read, and I was like, wait, what? Like, look back down, and you're like, 20 minutes after they extend Andy Reid, John Dorsey is no longer the GM of the Chiefs. In June, after they've gone through the draft, after they drafted a franchise quarterback, something happened, and I have no idea what it is. This has just all led to rampant speculation. Nobody knows exactly what's going on. The most connected Chiefs guy that's out there on the beat from the Star, Therese Paylor, is like on a month-long vacation at this point in time. I have no idea what to tell you about what exactly is going on with the Chiefs, except that if your theory was the same as mine, that Andy Reid was going to take over GM duties like he did at one point in time in Philly, Sam Mellinger has already debunked that. So your guess is as good as mine. If you want to speculate, take it away and speculate.
Something to do with OTAs, maybe.
Man, I have no idea what is happening right now with the Chiefs. None.
I don't know. I don't know. at first, my thought was this is another like technological error taking place where this announcement was not supposed to be made. It was made up by a machine or something. I was reminded of the situation that happened last night. I don't know if you saw this with the Los Angeles Times, but the LA Times Twitter account tweeted out a warning about a magnitude 6.8 earthquake that took place somewhere in California, and then they issued a correction and said that earthquake actually happened in 1925. And the reason for that was because the USGS survey thing accidentally sent out an alert, you know, like 90 years after the fact.
Is this coming back around somewhere?
Yes, it is. Okay. It is. And it's and the LA Times Twitter just like automatically tweeted that out. So there was no earthquake. And it was a funny thing on social media last night. But anyway, when I first saw the news about John Dorsey, I'm like, there's got to be like some mistake here. Like, this is an announcement that is not supposed to be made. But I guess it's real. Like, and really, the big thing for me is just seeing the reactions to the people that are way more, you know, in touch with the Chiefs. I'm seeing a tweet from Therese Paylor from 4 minutes ago that said, already hearing from people around the league expressing absolute shock. Dorsey is highly respected and very good at his job. Like, no one saw this coming, completely out of left field.
And Chris Ballard, who has been like his right-hand man that a lot of people thought was a GM in waiting and might be the Chiefs GM, if John Dorsey were going to go take the Packers GM job. I mean, like, this was the speculation not all that long ago. Well, Chris Ballard's already gone. That's another thing that makes this even more puzzling. You would have thought he would be a likely guy to step in if they're going to do something like this. No, he's gone. Jeremy Maclin, that decision was obviously very curious, and a lot of people wondered what the heck was going on there. And Maclin has since come out and said that he got fired via voicemail. That's a weird thing that you wouldn't expect for a 9-year veteran in the league. There are just some weird things happening right now with the Chiefs. I'm sure, at least I would think, we'll get some more information as the show rolls along via social media, and we'll be sure to pass it along to you if we do, because we We have a lot of ground to cover. There's going to be a ton of K-State hoops today with Wesley Iwundu on the cusp of getting drafted, including hearing from him at 5:10. So that'll be the focus of most of the show. But if I do hear anything Chiefs-related, man, I'll let you know, because your guess is as good as mine right now.
You were, like, the most excited person in the world that the Chiefs took Patrick Mahomes in the draft and that they finally pulled the trigger on taking a first-round quarterback. Would you take it back to have all of the other weird offseason stuff go away, too?
No, probably not.
So you're okay with having Mahomes at the expense of not having Dorsey, not having Jeremy Maclin?
Yeah, they got Andy Reid. It'll be all right.
Okay.
They'll stay relevant. Yeah. All right, so Wesley Iwundu tonight could be the first draft pick in nearly a decade from Kansas State. 2008 draft, you had Michael Beasley and Bill Walker, last two Wildcats to get drafted. And look, I don't want to rain on anybody's parade here. I think Wesley Iwundu should get drafted. He deserves to get drafted. I would be thrilled for him if he does. It would be great for the program. It would be great for him. It'd be great for a lot of entities if he does get drafted. But here's the bottom line. We have seen a lot of mock drafts over the last couple weeks and months, really, about Wes. The NBA discussion surrounding him really started to pick up late in his senior year. Like when they're making the run to the Big 12 tournament and in the NCAA tournament, Wes played great against Wake Forest, even pretty solid against Cincinnati. That's when we all started to open our eyes and say, well, this may be realistic. And for a little while there, there were a decent amount of mocks that had him in the first round. As of today, and we'll cover some of this in Haters and Ballers 525, you can only find one mock draft that has him in the first round. That's NBADraft.net. And from what I can tell, a lot of NBA fans, hardcore NBA fans, don't trust that one as much. It's not as reputable as some of the others. So in most, you will find him as a second-round pick. There was one, and it's ESPN's, Chad Forty, who does not have him in either of the first two rounds. Here's the deal. I don't know much about the NBA, but I know this. College seniors are not a very hot commodity in the NBA draft, and they are becoming increasingly less and less of a commodity in the NBA draft. If you're at a computer right now or you have your phone, go Google college seniors NBA draft and see how many articles are going to come up about fading amounts of college seniors being drafted into the NBA draft, in particular in the first round, but really overall. I am just approaching this tonight with realistic expectations, what I would consider to be realistic expectations. And I think if you are an NBA or a college senior, that is, who is projected by most mocks to be in a second-round pick, get a coin. I just spent all mine on this Diet Pepsi, so I don't have a coin anymore. That would have been good radio, actually, if I still had one to flip. Flip a coin. Flip a coin. The NBA right now is set up in a way that there are super teams, and you got to have super, super, superstars to go out there and compete and win. And that means teams in the draft swing for the fences. That is going to take you away from going for productive college seniors and going for the overseas players that we've never heard of, taking a flyer there to see if you do find the next Greek freak who's been great in Milwaukee. Giannis Antetokounmpo, however you actually say his name.
Pretty good.
He's been a revelation that the Bucks found that way. That's what teams are going for, and it has pushed them further and further away from college seniors. So I hope Wesley Iwundu gets drafted. I would love to see it, but I think tempering your expectations and then being thrilled and pleasantly surprised if he does get drafted is the way to go, and that is the way that I will approach it tonight.
Okay, so on a scale from 1 to 10, your confidence level right now, Wesley Iwundu not being drafted, is a
5. I just told you, flip a coin.
Okay. I've got one.
5.
Heads as he gets drafted, okay?
Okay, here we go.
He's getting drafted.
Let it hit the table. It didn't count. You got to let it hit the table.
Okay. He's still getting drafted.
Okay, well, all right. Looks like Wes is getting drafted.
But here's the thing. But for every one of those Giannis, whatever his name is,
Antetokounmpo.
That's very well done. There's also like a Ricky Rubio. You know, there's a lot of those guys that they try to make into those and they don't work out. And I think the biggest flaw in your argument is saying that he's a projected second round pick. Well, that means he's a projected second round pick. Like that kind of ends the argument right there, doesn't it? If the experts are saying that he is a second round pick, that shouldn't be used against him as an argument for why he will not get drafted. That's where people think that he will go.
I you're just getting into dicey territory there when you get into the second round, because that is where teams really tend to take flyers. One of the articles I was reading was last year from CBS Sports. And it was actually about how last year was the highest influx, really, of college seniors in a long time, because you had a bunch of really good ones in college basketball, like Buddy Hield. But they were just talking about a lot of these second-round picks come down to who do they think can fill their last roster spot. And that's really when you're going for, if you're a team that's not the Warriors, which, if we're being honest, I mean, there's one team out there right now that people feel can win the NBA title. That's the Warriors. If you're anybody else, you're swinging for the fences. This is not, all right, we feel like we're a championship contender, let's sprinkle in one more player here that can fill a role. It's more like, let's see if we can find a Greek version of Kevin Durant, a French version of Kevin Durant, whatever that may be. So taking flyers on those guys is where people are going with their last roster spots. And I just think you get in danger of teams falling too much in love with that and not wanting to go that route. I'm not saying it won't happen, but I'm saying I don't think it's as likely as many would prognosticate it to be. Let's take Buddy Hield, for example. That's as good of a college senior as I can remember in a long time. And Buddy Hield was drafted sixth last year. He was the first college senior taken. He went to a bad team in New Orleans, and he averaged 8 points a game and got traded. College seniors, man. I'm not trying to run down Wesley Iwundu. I'm not trying to run down college basketball necessarily here. But with the current state of the NBA, that's how it goes. I saw the Vegas over-under today from RJ Bell, who is one of the really well-connected guys in Vegas. He put out the over-unders for, like, international players, college juniors, sophomores, freshmen, senior, whatever. It was for the first round, but their over-under for college seniors taken in the first round was 0.5. So, I mean, more or less, they're almost projecting that no college seniors will be taken in the first round. It is just a rarity to see those guys really go. So I hope someone takes a chance on Wesley Iwundu, but I'm just telling you, tone down the expectations some and be pleasantly surprised if it happens.
Hater.
Hey, well,
Hater.
I may make my first appearance, I guess, in Haters and Ballers, which is coming up at 5:25.
By the way, first bit of reporting on the Chiefs situation from Adam Schefter says Chiefs and John Dorsey did not agree to part ways, per source. Chiefs dismissed John Dorsey, per source.
Okay, well, there's one piece of the puzzle, but why? Why?
Why?
It's a pretty logical
follow-up. Get me Mitch Holtus on the phone.
Wesley Iwundu joins the show at 5:10 before the draft tonight. Curtis Kelly is going to come up next here. I had a chance to talk with him earlier today. He is, I mean, I'll be honest, I was fanboying a little bit because he is one of my all-time favorite Wildcats. He's back in Manhattan right now helping out with some camps. Curtis Kelly will explain to you why he says K-State saved his life when we come back. Back here on the game, you're going to hear from Curtis Kelly, former Wildcat, in just a moment, why he says K-State saved his life. Wesley Iwundu at 5:10, had a chance to talk with him earlier today. Look, I'll say this, man. I know you think I'm a hater for saying flip a coin on whether or not he gets drafted. Again, just trying to be realistic here, second round projection, college senior. Can be tough. I have seen him linked with the Lakers multiple times. That would be very cool if he went to the Lakers. I'd have some fun with that.
Okay. That would be hard for me because Lonzo Ball is going to be on the Lakers.
Well, that means, think about it, though. If you're talking about program exposure, Wesley Iwundu is going to get more FaceTime just by osmosis playing with Lonzo Ball and the LeVar Ball thing that's going on. Do you not want exposure for the program? Guy out there that people will know who he is, help out in recruiting, that type of thing?
He would be on TV less than LeVar, and he's actually playing. Like, if Wes were in a game, you would still see LeVar on TV more than you would see Wes.
Well, another team I've seen him linked with a lot is the Brooklyn Nets. Would you rather him be in Brooklyn? Where do you think he's going to get more exposure? Playing for the Lakers? Playing for the Brooklyn Nets? How about Milwaukee? You can go play with Giannis Antetokounmpo, since I've said that name five times already today. Think he'll get more exposure in L.A. or Milwaukee?
I know.
Have I made my point?
Hey, but Beasley plays in Milwaukee, so...
Well, that's right.
You could do that.
That's right. And we forget because he plays in Milwaukee and nobody has any idea what happens with the Milwaukee Bucks. I can tell you that much. I'm not even an NBA fan. I think I can tell you that much. Curtis Kelly is one of my all-time favorite Wildcats because of the way he played the game, man. He just wore his heart on his sleeve. I always loved listening to him and hearing from him because he's a really thoughtful guy. and again, just leaves his emotions all out there. You don't have to ask and dig to get into the emotions of Curtis Kelly. Not only that, he was a great player who had a phenomenal game, by the way, in that Xavier Sweet 16 game, which might be the most memorable K-State basketball game in my lifetime. It'd be up there. So had a chance to catch up with him. He is back along with, let's see, it's like Shane Southwell, J.O., Martavius Irving, Curtis Kelly, Rodney Magruder, whole gang back in town helping out with some basketball camps. This interview actually took place while he was eating at one of Manhattan's favorite local eateries. I'll tell you off the air about it. I probably shouldn't put it out there on the air, but he was enjoying Manhattan, I'll tell you that much. And Curtis Kelly is a guy who was very glad to be back in MHK.
It's been beautiful, you know, seeing my old friends. I'm with J.O., Martavius, Shane, Rodney. So, you know, seeing my old brothers and experience new brotherhood and the new teammates at K-State, the young fellas. It's been a great experience. You know, Manhattan is different from any places that I usually grew up, which is New York. It's so much different in New York. So I always love coming to a place that's peaceful as Manhattan.
Former Wildcat Curtis Kelly with me here on the game. You played 6 years overseas now, Israel, Turkey, Italy. What has the overseas basketball experience been like, man?
Overseas basketball has been, you know, it's ups and downs. You've got to be professional, first and foremost. That's the main thing I tell people when they talk about overseas basketball. But it's also the blessing of traveling, meeting new people, experiencing new cultures. Those things is things that, you know, live with you for a lifetime. Everyone don't have the blessing to travel and to do something they love, and I have the blessing to do that. I'm a people person, so I get along with everybody most of the time. But when you're away from family, away from friends, you have no choice but to rely on the energy and the love of other people that you meet. So with that being said, I have some great experience with people, great experience traveling. And I've been successful since I've been pro. For the most part, about 5 out of 6 years, I always averaged double digits. I was an all-star in 2 different countries. I've been an all-star 3 times. I also been a defensive player the year before. I won a championship my first year. Basketball is basketball, so if you're good enough, then you always have the ability to prove it. And I definitely took advantage of my opportunity.
I was looking through some old articles before doing this interview, and I saw a couple times you had said K-State saved my life. What does that mean to you?
Where I came from, you know, it's not your ideal situation. I came from a place where I was raised well by my mom and my stepdad, but there was no. It's a quote that a lot of people say. When they say that you jumped off the porch, that's like a country saying for guys. Like, that means that your mom or dad would keep you on the porch in order for you not to go out there and get hurt or go out there and do anything bad. Or so they'll keep you in the house. You know, that's a quote. But from where I'm from, there is no porch. So once you leave the house, you're on the street. You're on pavement in the street. So with that, that environment, there's no escaping certain things in that environment. No escaping certain people in that environment. It's no escaping certain temptations in that environment. Now, when I went to UConn, it was interesting because that place, it's not a party school, but it's not too far from New York, so I would go back and forth. And also, UConn didn't keep me as focused as K-State did. When I moved to K-State, it's a place where most people here don't jump off the porch. Most people here are groomed and are well raised, you know. So that experience was unique for me because I'm meeting all kinds of people that have such good hearts. And I could walk around the neighborhood in Manhattan and just say hi to so many people and say, hi, how you doing? They'll greet me back. I could walk in Manhattan any time of the night and don't have to have any concern or worry about my life or worry about running into the wrong people. That's why I say Manhattan saved my life, because it gave me a place to give me a calm that I needed to refocus, that I needed to just experience life in a different lens, you know. And that lens led me to become a much better person.
Talking right now with former Wildcat Curtis Kelly.
Yes, sir.
As far as your playing days are concerned, I think, you know, there's a lot of memories that come to mind, but obviously most people will look back to the Elite Eight run in 2010. When you look back on that, what do you remember the most about that run with that team?
I remember the fact that we spent the whole season being underdog, and that led us and fueled us to become what we became that season. We finished the season top five in the country, maybe top ten even. And I remember not doing it just for myself, but doing it because I wanted to be a part of a legacy. I wanted to be part of something that was big. And that's the reason why I came to K-State, because I believed that if I focused and did well, I could help my team become at a higher level, become one of the best teams in the country. And I and me and guys like Jacob Pullen, Rodney, Jordan Tay, Jamal Samuels, Danny Clemente, we was a part of that. But what I remember most, I would say, is the Sweet 16 game against Xavier, and that it was a triple overtime. I remember the excitement and the feeling of joy winning that game. That was a blessed season.
How much do you think about that Butler game? And I don't mean to ask that to bring up bad memories, but I mean, you guys were so close. The under four media timeout, you guys are ahead of Butler with the Final Four trip on the line. Do you still think about it?
Of course, you know, I believe that if we made it to the Final Four, we'd have made it to the championship. This is what I believe off the fact that us and Butler was very similar as far as being an underdog and as far as having the talent in order to make it to Final Four, but also having the hunger to make it also. So I think we was the hungriest teams in that tournament. And what I remember most is just Gordon Hayward, who now plays for the Utah Jazz. I remember him destroying us, first of all. I remember him just destroying us. But for the most part, I remember the first half of me having 14 points just to end the first half. And not that it's a bad memory, because it's all great memories. You know, to experience that is an experience that I could tell my kids, and I could show them the film to prove it.
What was it like watching Frank get to the Final Four this year?
It was love. I watched that. You know, I watched him the whole tournament from my computer when I was in Israel. And I was just so proud, you know, because they also played the game, the Final Four game, on TV in Israel as well, on one of the channels. You know, a lot of people around the world actually like Frank. You know, they like his passion. They enjoy his enthusiasm. They enjoy his character. His character is very funny, very open, very honest. So to see him speak at interviews, just everything, just brought me back to the man that taught me and led me to be a better person than I am today. He's a good coach and such a good person. I think he just deserves it, man. It was a pleasure to watch.
A couple more for you, Curtis, before I let you go. And talking here with Curtis Kelly, former Wildcat.
Yes, sir.
As far as looking back on your playing career, one of the things I loved about you the most was just you know, how much fun it always seemed like you were having out on the court. One of my favorite memories, I don't know if you remember this at all, I'll take a shot here and see, but it was like a Nebraska game, I think, on the road late in the game, and you guys had pulled off the trick where they were doing the left-right chant, and whoever it was sat down like at the perfect time, so messed up their guy shooting the free throw, and the cameras like caught you laughing on the bench. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I did. Still got that on YouTube, actually. Whoever hearing it, I hope you look that up on YouTube. You still can watch it.
How much fun did you have when you were playing, man? That was one of my favorite things about watching you play. It just seemed like you were always really enjoying yourself.
Well, you know, I'm a New York kid. I'm from where, you know, it's always live. It's always very fast, very up and down. So one of the things that I always told myself was that if I can't have the kind of fun I would back home, then I was going to bring that with me, and I was going to have it on the court. So that's one of the reasons why I always was excited, always happy to play, and I always wanted the crowd to be involved. I always told jokes on the bench. I always made sure that we was focused and we worked hard. I also made sure that we had fun at the same time. We call it get it popping. I think we got it popping here at K-State, and we made it more live. We brought a culture that was more live that wound up continuing even after I left. So I remember the Nebraska game and doing that, and one of the reasons why I did it was they did it to my man Jamal Samuels right before that. So I told myself, like, nah, you know, they're going to diss my brother. I'm going to make sure that I get him back. And that was my way of getting him back. And the main thing was is that we was going to let people know that watch this, this type of relationship we had. You could see the relationship we had while you watched this. And that made us likable. That made people love us. I'm just happy that when I was here at K-State, I made it more fun. And I was remembered for making it more fun, making it more exciting.
Man, I love that answer. Before I let you go, Kurt, just what's next for Curtis Kelly in your career?
To be honest, who knows? You know, as far as me, I'm still playing basketball. You know, I'm a ride up basketball till my legs can't go. I just turned 29. I'm getting older, you know. But at the end of the day, I'm just trying to just remain a good professional, work hard, and move forward. Hopefully, you know, maybe a future in coaching, maybe a future with kids. You know, I would love to be a teacher in some way because I love kids. As far as where I'm going to play, you know, I get deals sent to me almost every day. You know, I just got a deal from Brazil. I just got another deal from Japan presented to me. I had another deal in Israel on the table again to go back. Another team from France, team from Greece. And I've been turning most of them down because the money hasn't been right. But who knows, you know, whatever the money is, that's right. And it's a blessing to be there, and it's good for my future. I'm definitely going to move ahead on. But you never know. Maybe Coach Weber, you know, call me up one day and say, hey, I want an assistant job for you, you know, because that would be a dream also. So who knows, man, who knows?
Kurt, sincerely, I appreciate you doing this, man. You really are one of my favorite all-time Wildcats. This has been one of my favorite interviews I've done in a while, man. Take care.
John, I just want you to continue to support K-State like you've been, man. I've been knowing you for years now, and I love the fact that you continue to support K-State. Anyone watching, please, I have to support K-State more than ever now. I'm here in the games and the events that basically the basketball players take place in. It's not as crowded. It's not as built up as it used to be. We need to make sure that the K-State coaches stay solid with basketball. And also, we need to make sure we support those younger guys coming in and show them what Purple Pride means, what Iman means. So whoever's hearing this and ever listening out, please support the basketball team this year. Continue to support them from now on. And show them young guys what it's like to be a Wildcat.
All right, there is Curtis Kelly. I assume I'm going to get made fun of for fanboying here.
No, I'm not going to make fun of you. I just want to ask, how much were you blushing when when Curtis mentioned talking about you and how much he appreciates your work?
Oh, it was not that part that got me. I will tell you, so that's about half of like what the Raw interview was. I had to cut it down about in half, and there was like five or six times during the interview where I just like fist pumped in the studio because I just love the answers. For one, when I was saying, hey, it's Curtis Kelly on the game, whatever, and he says, yes, sir. Like, I love that. We may have to, like, clip that, the yes, sir. I like that. I like when he said, what did he say? Like, we got it popping at K-State. Got it popping at K-State. I would agree, Kurt. Definitely got it popping at K-State. We'll hear from Wesley Wundu at 5:10. Maybe drafted tonight. We'll do Haters and Ballers. Wesley Wundu draft edition at 5:25. When we come back, though, there's a great exchange between Barry Brown and Devontae Graham of Kansas on Twitter earlier today. I think Brown got the better of him. We'll tell you about it next. Back here on the game, Wesley Wundu at 5:10. Haters and Ballers, Wesley Wundu draft edition at 5:25. Sounds like I'm going to be making an appearance there as a hater. Didn't mean to. We have an update on the John Dorsey, Andy Reid situation. If you trust some guy named Benjamin Albright, and he spells Albright with two L's, I feel like that might be a hit on the credibility, but he has 36,000 followers on Twitter. Works at a radio station in Denver. His bio says, as seen on Yahoo, Fox Sports, ESPN. His tweet says, Andy Reid forced John Dorsey out per sources. That's not incredibly surprising because they announced an extension for Andy Reid followed by John Dorsey is gone. And when something happens with the timing of this after they drafted a quarterback, like you just... It almost had to be some kind of huge fight, disagreement, something like that. Maybe it was because of Jeremy Maclin. I mean, maybe that's where all this starts. I don't know, but this is at least the first, you know, if there's like a trail of breadcrumbs to what actually happened, this is a sizable breadcrumb that we get now from this Benjamin Albright guy, if it's true.
It sure seems like Andy Reid is the kind of guy that would be really hard to not get along with. You know, it seems he seems like a pretty easy guy to like. So, kind of surprised.
Let's connect the dots here on a theory. He likes his offense, right? He thinks the team's close to being a Super Bowl contender. Yeah. And his best wide receiver gets cut unexpectedly and shockingly by the GM. That might be something that makes Andy Reid a little tougher to get along with. I mean, I'm just trying to put together what we said. I'm not saying any of it is like anything I expected. I'm with you. If you would have told me a month ago, 2 months ago, whatever, that this was going to happen, I'd be shocked. But now knowing what we know, that's one of the things that seems to make some logical sense. It is bizarre. It is bizarre. We'll keep you updated if anything else comes out later on in the show. Did you see the Devontae Graham, Barry Brown Twitter exchange earlier today?
Chalk up one for K-State early in this this basketball season.
Well, one thing it definitely proves, and this goes back to the days of Curtis Kelly, Jacob Pullen, those guys, typically, as much as we fans would love to think that the K-State and Kansas players really hate each other, they've always had a pretty good off-the-court relationship. Like, Jacob Pullen was pretty tight with Sherron Collins, both coming up from Chicago. I mean, those teams really respected each other and liked each other, and it seems like there's the same sentiment here now with Barry Brown and Devontae Graham, who are both helping out at a basketball camp in Topeka, Brett Ballard's basketball camp with Washburn. There's a picture that was taken from there with Devontae Graham's holding a mic, like speaking to the kids, and in the background, Barry Brown just gets caught in a pose where his hand is on his chin like he's just puzzled somewhat looking at him. And Devontae Graham captioned the photo and said, Barry thinking, dang, I can't believe he came back for his senior year. So then Barry Brown comes back at him with the same picture, and his comment underneath it was, Barry contemplating, was it 6 or 7 steps his teammate took to win the game?
Very nice.
That was pretty well done. Mm-hmm. We got a little Travelgate reference in there, Travelgate jab from Barry Brown to Devontae Graham.
Did we ever get a response from Devontae Graham on
yeah,
that?
Yeah, he just sent a bunch of, like, laughing emojis.
Oh, okay.
You know, millennials.
Okay.
That's how that all ended. But I think there's no doubt. Like, if you're looking at a scoreboard from this thing, scoreboard from that exchange, that's got to be 1 for Barry Brown and 0 for Devontae Graham. Now, whether or not that actually matters when they get out on the floor, I have no idea.
He actually, this is a tweet from a couple hours ago from Devontae Graham. Can y'all please get out of my mentions going back and forth about KU and K-State, about to start blocking people? So I guess it escalated between fans.
You know fans.
Yeah.
Of course fans are going to swoop in and jump on top of that. I mean, they're going to throw the gasoline on that fire. That was a little smoldering thing between those two. The fans are going to come in and spark that right up. I'm sure Devontae Graham probably had to start blocking some people.
Yeah, I'm seeing it now.
Looking at the tweets?
I'm looking at the responses to Barry Brown's tweet, and you got a bunch of KU fans that that have something to say about that. Let's see, we've got one. Would you have won in overtime? Just saying. Then a K-State fan responds, would KU have won in overtime? Can you see the future? Just saying. You know, just a lot of this.
That's great. It's really great discussion, really great stuff there for the fans.
Got a reference to KU's criminal record on their team.
Yeah, well, this is devolving very quickly, and as you would expect.
Yeah.
Anything else? Any other step?
No, well, we have a shot at Kansas football. Now they're talking about how South Dakota State beat them.
Okay, yep. That's, yes, that makes sense. Are we going to get to Godwin's Law? Is Hitler going to come out here at some point?
Time, Bruce Vail, with your money. Samsung is in late talks to invest about $300 million to expand its U.S. production facilities by taking over a plant in South Carolina that is about to be vacated by Caterpillar. Samsung would move production of some oven ranges that are currently made in Mexico to the South Carolina plant. Samsung's interest in a U.S. factory was influenced by the election of President Trump, who vowed to bring more manufacturing jobs back into the country. Ford is expanding the Chariot van shuttle service it acquired last year to a third city. Now people in Seattle can summon a Chariot van to get around that city. Chariot already operates a fleet of vans in San Francisco, its home base, and Austin, Texas. On Wall Street today, stocks were barely mixed at the market.
Luwondo at 5'10". His improved jump shot, big reason he might get drafted tonight. It's pretty fun listening to him describe all the drills he did to improve that jump shot. Haters and Ballers, West Draft Edition at 5:25. Tyler and I actually agree on a very polarizing sports thing here. Gerard Dyson, former Royal, and watching this, God, I miss him. Love him. That's what Speed Do was in action against the Tigers last night. So here's the scenario. Seattle trails Detroit 4-0, bottom of the sixth. The Mariners are getting no hit by Justin Verlander.
Perfect game, actually.
Okay, they're getting perfect gamed.
Perfecto.
They're getting perfect gamed by Justin Verlander in the bottom of the sixth. There is one out, base is clear. Dyson drops down a bunt, really nice executed bunt down the first baseline, gets on first. Well, that breaks up, obviously, the perfect game. And guess what? Seattle would go on to win the game 7-5. I guess there's been an uproar and a lot of fans very upset about the decorum here of Jerod Dyson bunting with a perfect game in the sixth. I could not think that that is a stupider opinion. I literally could not. Let's get this straight here. A lot of the general sports media, sports fans out there, love to hate the lazy guys, the guys that we perceive to be not trying their best and doing everything they can to go win the game. We like the tough, gritty guys that are going to do everything they can to win the game. Jerod Dyson is a speed guy. His whole nickname and mantra is, that's what speed do. He is a guy that can bunt to get on base. His team is trailing by four, certainly within reach. It's only the bottom of the sixth. And he got on base, and it rattled Verlander, and they wound up winning the game. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Jerod Dyson's job is to get on base and win games. Help his team win games.
His job is not to assist the other team in making history.
Correct.
That is not in his contract.
His paycheck, I believe, has a Seattle Mariners logo on it.
Yes.
It does not have Justin Verlander's face.
I just couldn't. Detroit Tigers logo
on it.
I couldn't believe it, and I was actually a little frustrated in Deadspin for posting this because they kind of posted in a way that makes Dyson look bad. And I was reading some of the reactions to this, and, you know, there are these Tigers fans that are like, I've lost all respect for Jerod Dyson, such a Bush League move. Are you kidding me? I actually will sympathize with you if it's like the ninth inning and it's a 10-run game and it's Miguel Cabrera that's dropping it who doesn't bunt. But this is a guy who makes his living on playing small ball. It's still a game. You're barely halfway through it. Give me a break. Just ridiculous.
This is one of those. And Danny Duffy has stuck up for his former teammate in this regard. It sounds like most of the baseball side, like the guys that actually play the game, the players, managers, Justin Verlander himself, they didn't have a problem with it. It's just fan who wants to be angry, guy on the radio who wants to be angry and yell about this type of thing and decorum and unwritten rules.
I'd like to plead these people to take that anger and find something productive to apply it to.
Yes.
Not this. There are plenty of things in the world right now that you can be mad about. Go find something else.
I've got a few ideas. I've got a few very topical ideas that they could use.
Mine would be mad at you for not thinking that Wesley's going to get drafted tonight.
I said flip a coin. I said it's 50-50, all right? I did not say he was not going to get drafted.
Hater.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm going to appear in Haters and Ballers at 525. Wesley at One Dude Draft Edition. Wes is going to be on the show himself when we come back in the first segment of the second hour. Again, a big part of what has led to him being on some NBA draft boards, good chance that he will get drafted tonight, is that he corrected that jump shot, made huge strides in that regard in his last offseason before his senior year. He'll tell you exactly what he did. Lots of different drills that I thought were pretty darn creative on how he fixed that jump shot. That's coming up next here on The Game.